2 Kings chapter 17, verse number 6. In the ninth year of Hosea, the king of Assyria took Samaria and carried Israel away into Assyria and placed them in Hala and in Habor by the river of Gozan and in the city of the Medes. For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, which had brought them up out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had feared other gods and walked in the statutes of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel and of the kings of Israel, which they had made. And the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God. And they built them high places in all their cities, from the tower of the watchman to the fenced city. And they set them up images and groves in every high hill and under every green tree. And there they burnt incense in all the high places, as did the heathen whom the Lord carried away before them, and wrought wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger. For they served idols whereof the Lord had said unto them, ye shall not do this thing. Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, turn ye from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I command your fathers and which I sent to you by my servants, the prophets. Notwithstanding, they would not hear, but hardened their necks like to the neck of their fathers, and did not believe in the Lord their God. And they rejected his statutes and his covenant, which he made with their fathers, and his testimonies, which he testified against them. And they followed vanity and became vain, and went after the heathen that were round about them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. And they left all the commandments of the Lord their God and made them molten images, even two calves, and made a grove and worshipped all the hosts of heaven and served Baal. They caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire and use divination and enchantments and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Therefore the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them out of his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah. Also, Judah kept not the commandments of the Lord their God, but walked in the statutes of Israel, which they made. And the Lord rejected all the seed of Israel and afflicted them and delivered them into the hand of spoilers until he had cast them out of his sight. For he rent Israel from the house of David, and they made Jeroboam the son of Nebat king. And Jeroboam drave Israel from following the Lord and made them sin a great sin. For the children of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam, which he did. They departed not from them until the Lord removed Israel out of his sight, as he had said by all his servants the prophets. So was Israel carried away out of their own land to Assyria unto this day. Heavenly Father, Lord, from your word we can certainly gain great warning, dear God. And I pray, Lord, that as we apply what happened to Israel, Lord, to us individually, and then, Lord, in other applications, we can certainly read this and think about our own blessed country, Lord. Lord, God has blessed America. Thank you for that. But here we are, dear God. If you'll turn your back on Israel and move them out of your sight, why wouldn't you do it to a Gentile nation, Lord? I pray, dear God, that you'll stir some things in our heart. Help us, Lord, to be clean and pure before your eyes, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Let me give you just a little bit about it so you've got somewhat of an overview. This is the 12th book of the Bible, 25 chapters, 719 verses, 23,532 words, 118 questions, 560 verses of history, 58 verses of fulfilled prophecy, one verse of unfulfilled prophecy, 118 commands, and three promises. The key verse that I'd like you to memorize, because it does go with the theme, it's kind of a sad verse, honestly. 2 Kings chapter 17, we read it. Look at verse number 20. And the Lord rejected all the seed of Israel and afflicted them and delivered them into the hand of the spoilers until he had cast them out of his sight. What a verse. But that's where we end at the conclusion of this book. The author, as we mentioned last week, Isaiah and Jeremiah compiled the writings of several of the prophets, including Nathan and Gad and Jehu and Abijah and maybe one or two others. Isaiah and Jeremiah was the ones responsible for gathering these writings and putting them into 1 Kings and 2 Kings and compiling these books of history. The book's title and its meaning, the name of the book, of course, is 2 Kings. It is thus named because it is the continuing history of the kings of Israel that started back in the time of Solomon, beginning of 1 Kings, and then until the nation is taken into captivity. The theme of 2 Kings, I've already mentioned, it could be entitled Sins That Lead to Captivity. And we read of the continual backsliding. That's what we read from the first verse of 2 Kings to the end, the continual backsliding of Israel as a nation and the consequences of their unrepentant rebellion against God. You know, it's one thing to backslide against the Lord. It's another thing to continue therein in stubbornness until God has to take you into some type of captivity. And they certainly would not turn from their sins, at least not for very long. Couple kings, thank God, brought a little bit of a touch of revival. How many times was that followed by, sadly, a son of that king taking Israel back into even more wickedness and undoing everything that his father had done? We'll look at that a couple times tonight. The outline of the book is let me kind of break it down like this. The first seven chapters is the death of Elijah and the ministry of Elisha. Chapters 8 through 11, judgment upon the house of Ahab and Jezebel. Now think about that, 8, 9, 10, 11, four chapters, God just stops the prophets. Elijah came and found Ahab, found Jezebel, and you know what? Pronounced judgment on them for their wickedness and on their seed. And you know what? God just stops and takes chapter 8, chapter 9, chapter 10, chapter 11. Not only do we read about the death of Jezebel, but the complete annihilation of their seed. Every single descendant of that wicked king and that wicked queen in those four chapters, they're gone. By the way, that was over 20 years after Elijah predicted it. And remember this, folks, you know what? You don't always see the judgment of God come the next day or the next month or the next year or even the next 10 years. But I promise you this, you continue on in wickedness. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his grace. But when God says it's enough, it's going to be enough. And you know what? He kept his promise and fulfilled the prophecy that he gave Elijah. And for those chapters, 8, 9, 10, and 11, we just see the entire house of Ahab and Jezebel annihilated, erased, gone. And then we see chapters 12 and 13, the reign of the kings until the death of Elisha. Chapter 14 through 17, the reign of the kings until Israel goes into captivity. And then chapter 18 through 25, the reign of the kings until Judah goes into captivity. And that's the end of the book. First Israel, the 10 tribes, and then later on Judah and Benjamin go into captivity. And that's where we end 2 Kings. The main characters of the book is Almighty God, Elisha the prophet, and the kings of both Israel and Judah. And we won't take a long time to look at too many of them tonight. But that's what this records for us, is this second book of the Kings. All right, let's get into the one great truth. Let's do a little Bible study tonight, all right? We are right here into 2 Kings, chapter number 17. When God allows the northern tribes, the 10 tribes, to be carried away into captivity, through divine inspiration, God stops and tells, this is why I'm doing that. Folks, listen to me, because I think we ought to all just kind of hear this and think about it. A lot of times what we do is we see God's judgment come, and a lot of times it comes in a very powerful way. And you know what? Sometimes we want to stop and say, well, wow, God sure is mean. But you know what? If we take inventory, we ought to take a look at how long God was gracious and patient. And can I say this? If God does decide to unleash judgment, he is a just God. And there's always plentiful reasons for him doing it. So he just stops here. Chapter 17, from verse 7 all the way through verse 23. He says, listen, this is what I allowed to happen. But let me remind you of why I finally came to this point. And this is good for us, folks. Listen, I believe something. If you want to stay safe, then you need to keep within your heart a healthy fear of the Lord. A healthy fear of the Lord. You know what? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And you know what? You'll live as clean as, the cleanness of your life will be a reflection of your fear of God. You know, if you're more worried about pastor finding out about something that you're doing than God finding out about it, then you've got your fear in the wrong place. If you get to the point where you fear the Lord and realize the eyes of the Lord are every place beholding the good and the evil, then you know what? You'll walk a straighter path and you'll keep cleaner hands as you traverse through this life. And so, folks, listen to me. Israel just lost their fear of God. And they, and because of that, they went into all kinds of debauchery. Now here's the one great truth. Sin, here it is. This is what we're going to study tonight. They're the sins that lead to captivity. You know what? There's certain sins that you, if you allow to come into your life and you are unrepentant about them and you wear out the grace and mercy of God, then you know what? There's a point in time where God simply says, I will put you into captivity. I've watched individuals taken into captivity. And by the way, the Bible warns against this. 2 Timothy chapter 2, flee also youthful lust, but follow after righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. And you know what? The servant of the Lord, he's, of course, writing this book. This book is directed to Timothy, young preacher, and he's given him some instruction in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. And you know what? I've pastored a lot of people for a lot of years, and I've watched people get to the point where their worst enemy is themselves. Okay, I know the devil opposes you, but you shouldn't join him in opposing yourself. And you know what the servant of God does? In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God preadventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. You know why? One of the reasons preachers preach, to give you the Bible truths that you need to stop, listen, becoming a regular victim of the devil. Okay, let me just say it again. He's a defeated foe. Let me say it again. He can't win anything unless we hand it to him. And so, you know what? If the devil just, you can't get through a day and he's knocked you down 10 times and the next day he knocks you down 10 times, there comes a point in time where you got to understand, folks, listen, greater is he that is in you than is he that is in the world. And you know what? There is power in the blood. There is power in the blood. The devil shows up, you know what? He can't stand against the word of God. He can't stand against the blood of Jesus Christ. You know what? You claim the name of the Lord and the name of Jesus is powerful. He doesn't know what to do with that. Listen, you can overcome him. In Revelation chapter 12, it says that they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto death. And you know what? You claim the blood. The word of your testimony, you get use this book, and don't be afraid to speak up for Jesus. And you know what? You decide, you know what? I'd rather die than go the way of the devil. I'd rather die than go the way of the devil. Get that kind of determination down in you. You don't have to be the devil's punching bag. Okay, you can get victory. I'm encouraging you. Listen, access what's available to you. I've watched individuals be taken into captivity. I've watched families taken into captivity. Okay, look right up here and let me help you. Let me tell you how that happens a lot of times. Yeah, and please listen to what I'm going to say. Well, I'm going to give you something that's so important and so good right now. A lot of times a family ends up in captivity because one family member was taken into captivity. Please listen to what I'm going to say. One family member's taken into captivity. The devil's got one. And that family, if they don't react right and properly, will allow the devil to take the whole family. Are you listening to me? Okay, well, I've got to save them. I've watched this happen over and over and over again. Okay, I know you love your family member. I get it. But you know what? Following that person, whether it's a young man or a young lady or a wife, or following them into captivity is not going to help get them out of captivity. Okay, the prodigal mom and dad didn't pack their bags and go with the prodigal son. And you know what? You've got to stand for where you stand, and you've got to stand straight, and you've got to stand tall. And I always say this, man, give them a home to come back to. I mean, where would the prodigal have come back home to if everybody was sitting in the pig pen with him? Now watch this. You're going to have, listen, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, it's happening in the past. It's going to happen in the future. You know what? You're going to have a young person that struggles. You're going to have a family member that struggles, okay? All right, don't let that get into bitterness in your heart. And you decide the way that you're going to save them is compromise with them and backslide with them and go to the devil with them. Okay, and I've watched it. I've watched it here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And so I know you love your kids, and I know you love your grandkids, and I get all of that. But don't listen, I've watched the devil take entire families captive. They take an individual captive, they take a family captive. I've watched the devil take a church captive. Well, that's sad. Think about that. Let me just blow the trumpet one more time here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Listen, we're nothing, God's everything. Anything that in the entire history of this church, anything that God's allowed this church to do is by his grace and mercy, not by anything we are. Okay, we start getting puffed up, think we're something, think God can't do without us. Buddy, he can take this candlestick away and put it somewhere else. And you know, every day we ought to beg for God to keep using us and stay clean so he can use us and stay right so he can use us, stay humble so he can use us. But I've watched him take churches captive. I mean, come on, folks, you can read your history books, church history, and know that. I mean, they're all over this country. Our huge auditoriums where 15, 20 people now gather on a Sunday night, and it used to be thousands, and they were soul winning stations. And I mean locally. I mean, I can take you to Terre Haute and show you that. You know, I can take you places where there used to be church buildings standing, and there's stores there now. And at one time, God did a work. What happened? The devil come in and took them captive. Why? Because they allowed some sins to come into their life. A nation can be taken captive. You know what we're witnessing right now? We're witnessing the devil taking the United States of America captive. I mean, we're not far from. When we go down through these sins, you're going to sit there and think to yourself, preacher, help us. Yeah, help us. I don't know how long before the Assyrians come in. I don't know how long until the Babylonians come in. I don't know. Honestly, folks, the clock's ticking. And boy, I don't want to just be a pessimist. I don't want to discourage. I mean, I know these young people say, yeah, preacher, you're old. You'll be out of here a little while. I got to live on this. Yeah, I know. That's why you better stay serious about God. Because several times, even in 2 Kings, well, I wish we had time to teach it all. Several times in 2 Kings, and one I can think of specifically, a king did right. And God extended his mercy for four generations. Another time, a king did right, and it was close to when judgment was coming. He said, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to let it happen in your lifetime. And you know what that means? He extended mercy. You know what I can say to you young people? You know, I hope there's a revival. I hope this nation turns. But you know what? Brother Harding came in, and I think he taught us pretty right. Right now, you know what we're doing? We are trying to be enough salt and enough light and give God enough excuse to extend this a couple more generations. So we got a chance to see our kids raised, our grandkids raised, and see as many people saved as possible before God just has to pull the trigger on this thing. I think that's where we're at. But boy, don't quit. I hope that doesn't discourage you. I hope it motivates you. There's never been a time we need to stand more than we need to stand right now and do right more than we need to do right. And so don't let the devil, don't let sin lead you into captivity. And so what are these sins, preacher? Let's blow the trumpet. Let's know what they are so we know what to do here, all right? Okay, 2 Kings chapter 17 is where we're going to stay for the most part, so you'll kind of be right there, okay? I may have you go a couple places. 2 Kings 17, 12. First thing, notice this. Hold on a minute. 17:7. For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God. Notice this. All scriptures given by inspiration of God. Why is this next phrase here? Which had brought them out of the land of Egypt and from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had feared other gods. Now, folks, listen to me. Here's their first mistake. Israel forgot what God had done in the past to deliver them. They forgot where they came from. And you know what? Everything they left in Egypt, all the paganism, they ended up going past that. They went into a higher level of paganism. They forgot the deliverer, God who delivered them from all of that. Listen, don't ever forget the day that you were saved. Don't forget that. If God has saved you, you ought to stay close to that day of salvation. Listen, God saved your mom and dad, or God saved your family out of this world. Don't you be the one like Israel that takes the, listen, treat sacredly that new heritage. Okay, my mom and dad were both saved out of unsaved homes. My mom and dad decided they were going to start a new heritage. Now listen to me, young people, because I grew up in that. I was a teenager. I had to make decisions. But listen to me. To me, that was very sacred. My mom and dad left the world and left the captivity of the world to start a new life and give us a new chance. And I'm going to tell you something. What a wicked thing for me, a generation later, to turn around and walk past everything that they had gained, sell it cheap, spit on it, and walk back in to the debauchery that God saved them from. And by the way, that goes for the third generation and the fourth generation and the fifth generation. Okay, everybody starts trying to explain, well, second generation, third generation. You know what? It don't make it any more right for anybody to ever do that. But Israel, you know what they did? They forgot about it. God had delivered them. They forgot their heritage. They forgot their history. And you know what? They turned their back on that and just went into paganism. And boy, that's a sad thing. Number two, Israel began to commit the sins of the heathen nations whom God had cast out. And that's what we see then and down in verse number 12. Look at here. For they served idols whereof the Lord had said unto them, ye shall not do this thing. And the portion of scripture here talks about the fact that, you know what, the Lord drove out the heathen that was before them. Now, well, this is a whole study in itself. But Israel, you know what they did? They watched God destroy the Canaanites and drive them out and give them their land. And the very sins that they committed that caused God to judge them and drive them out of the land, they ended up committing those same sins. Now, there's three major sins here of the nations that they drove out that Israel started reproducing in their life. First one was idol worship. Okay? I mean, here they worship Jehovah God. They've got the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other God before me. They said, drive out these idol worshipers and destroy all of their idols and all their images. And folks, did you notice how much of chapter 17 when I wrote it or when I was reading it was talking about them, you know, planting the groves in the high places and burning the incense? And by the way, folks, listen to me. I don't want to go deep into this. But if you look in verse number 11, and there they burnt incense in all the high places, as did the heathen whom the Lord carried away before them, and wrought wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger. I can't even go into it, and I wouldn't probably. But you need to have your eyes open. Folks, listen to me. Idol worship and these false religions, it always took men to debauchery. When it talks about the wicked things, I mean, honestly, I don't feel comfortable teaching you. You read up on the religions and the sinful practices. These high places were not just a place. Let me say this and you'll get it. These high places were not just a place to go and burn incense. Okay, these groves weren't just a place to go up there and bow before an idol. There was more wickedness and debauchery and sensuality. And I mean, folks, every pagan thing and every wicked thing went on in the name of worship. Okay? And you know what? God watched that and said, I want that out of there because I want a people that's going to be pure and clean before a holy God. And the right kind of, listen, the right kind of religion will always drive you towards purity. And the wrong kind of religion will always drive you towards debauchery. And let's just stop here and make a new commitment in our hearts. Folks, listen to me. Let's be a holy people before a holy God. It's still right for us to do right. And I'm talking about in sensuality. I'm talking about in respecting the boundaries that God has placed. I'm talking about cleanness and purity morally outside of marriage, before marriage. All of that stays with a married partner. This whole idea that it doesn't matter anymore, it does matter. It does. You want to get in the crosshairs of God's judgment? Okay, marriage is honorable and all in the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. And you know why Israel's being judged here? It's just not because of idol worship. It's the debauchery that came with the idol worship. And so be very careful. Treat some of these things very sacredly, okay? I mean, folks, listen to me. I don't want to go into all of this, but you know how they recruited into false worship? You know how they recruited followers into false worship? Okay? For the most part, what they did is most of these false religions used prostitutes, priestess acting as prostitutes to lure men into their religion. That was part of their religion. By the way, young people, look right up here. Let me just hit a reset button, all right? We ain't doing that here. Now, God hasn't called any of you young ladies to be in the ministry of flirtation. So you can woo lost boys into church and then put your parents on a guilt trip when they put the hammer on you by saying, well, I just want to see their soul saved. God hasn't called you into the flirtation evangelism. Okay, God hasn't called you young men into the flirtation evangelism. You know what you're doing? You're mixing the flesh with the spirit and it don't work. It does not work. Stop trying to baptize your rebellion in spirituality. Parents, stop letting your kids pull the wool over your eye, okay? This isn't going to become a place where the girls are flirting with lost guys to get them to come to church and guys are flirting with lost girls to get them to come to church. And then I got a bunch of lost kids that have come for the wrong reason and I've got a bunch of kids we're trying to protect. Now, you take care of it or I'm going to. Everybody clear on that? Okay, don't you walk here and say, Pastor, don't care about souls. No, I do care about souls. I do. I want to see everybody saved. But there's a right way to do it. There's a right way to do it. And it's not the way that Baal worshipers do it. Okay, did I help you? I should have helped you right there. Okay? Well, we need to be smarter than we are. Okay, so idol worship. Here's the three sins. Let me give them. Idol worship, tolerance of the Sodomites, and the shedding of innocent blood. That shouldn't surprise us. Is this the United States of America? Idol worship. You say, preacher, nobody worships idols. Good. All right, look around you. Standing out here on the front porch last Sunday morning, all I do is watch cars pulling idols heading to Shackamack State Park on the Lord's Day. Sure they do. I'm watching people make idols of their children. Making idols of their grandchildren. Listen, watch this. Who is it or what is it that you love more than God? Who is it or what is it that you will love more than God? Who is it or what is it that you'll walk away from God to keep? Okay, let me just say this loud and clear, okay, so you have an understanding, okay? I love my family to death. I love my church to death. But I don't love anybody more than God. I do not love anyone more than God. You know why? Because that's the first and great commandment. Can you say that? Can you say that? I don't mean say it and not mean it. I don't mean say it and then get smitten in your heart by the Holy Spirit because he knows you're lying through your teeth. I mean, you got to settle some things. Yeah, but what? Is God supreme? Is there anything or anybody that's been placed higher in God in your life? And if there is, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. And then we got this. We've got Israel begins to commit the sins of the heathen nations. We got the sin of Manasseh. That's mentioned. Boy, I wanted to go through all that, but we're going to run out of time. That's all tied into idol worship. The tolerance of the Sodomites, 1 Kings chapter number 14. I've got to move on. The shedding of innocent blood, 2 Kings 24. You're right there. Flip over a couple chapters. 2 Kings 24. We'll read the first four verses. Listen to what it says. In his days, 2 Kings 24:1. In his days, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up. Jehoiakim became his servant 3 years, and he turned and rebelled against him. And the Lord sent against him bands of the Chaldees and bands of the Syrians and bands of the Moabites and bands of the children of Ammon. It sounds like America. We're getting hit by all signs. sent them against Judah. Why? To destroy it, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by his servants, the prophets. Surely, at the commandment of God, came this upon Judah, to remove him out of his sight for the sins of Manasseh, that's the idol worship, according to all that he did, and also for the innocent blood that he shed. Watch this. Here is America. For he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord, what? Would not pardon. Buddy, there's some lines, and I think America's crossed some lines. We're talking about 60 million babies. 60 million unborn babies, bloodshed. 60 million. All right, so idol worship seems like, and watch this. I'm going to tell you what I said a minute ago. I want to come back and revisit. Idol worship. You need to go home and just really ponder what I just said. Who is it or what is it? The honest truth is you'd walk away from God for. You might as well settle some things now. Who is it or what is it you'd walk away from God for? Because that's your idol. That's your idol. Okay? Tolerance of the Sodomites. We're not just tolerating him. We're elevating them. Shedding of innocent blood. Why did God put Israel in the crosshairs? They forgot what God had delivered them from. We've forgotten our Christian heritage. And you know what? They begin to commit the very sins of the heathen nations that God had to cast out. I know that this isn't as encouraging as some things I'd like to teach. But brother, we need revival. Preachers have got to get up and blow the trumpet on this. I'm going to be honest with you. There's 100 more subjects I'd rather teach on than this. I think sometimes you think, preacher must enjoy being grouchy. I don't enjoy it. But it also, I'm distraught. Because listen, folks, I'm not watching this afar off. I'm watching this sometimes in our own congregation. You have got to stop letting the devil allow you to be drug into sins that is going to put you or your family into captivity. You've got to stand up against them. Number three, Israel began to commit and excuse their secret sins. I'm not going to say much about this. I'm going to read it, and I'm going to let the Holy Spirit deal with all of us. But look back. We're back in 17, verse number 9. 2 Kings 17:9. The children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God. Folks, I know it's just a phrase, but it's in there for a reason. When I see a young person or a individual or a family or a church or a nation go in to captivity, I guarantee you, you dig around, there were secret sins. Well, nobody knows about this. You are wrong, sir. You are wrong, ma'am. Young person, you are wrong. God knows about it. Listen, if you harbor and you allow secret sins in your life, you are a candidate for being taken into captivity. Let's go to number four. They ignored the warnings of the prophets. Look in verse number 13 and 14. Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, turn ye from your evil ways. Keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you by my servants and prophets. And that's what Pastor Jerry Ross is doing tonight. And God still has his men. Thank you, Lord, for, I mean, they're out there. They're blowing the trumpet. They haven't bent their knee to Baal. They're willing to walk up on a Mount Carmel. They're looking at God's people and say, how long halt you between two opinions? I mean, thank God there's still men of God out there. But you know what happened? God sent those same prophets to Israel. And you know what? They just said, I don't want to hear it anymore. They start going to progressive churches and evangelical churches and where they don't ever have to hear about what's going on in their sin and their secret sins and their idols. And man, nobody had, you know what somebody said to me here a while back? And I hope you don't take this wrong. I almost didn't tell you this, but I'm going to tell you. Because sometimes we get duped by this sappy, false compassion. Somebody come to me and said, are you the pastor where the homosexuals were picking against your church? And I said, yes, that was our church. And he said, you think they'll do it again? And I said, I hope not. And the man said, well, if they do, I think all of your church ought to go over there and give them Kool-Aid or cookies or drinks or snacks and just show the love of Jesus. And I'm looking at him. Let's see, Kool-Aid, Jim Jones. See, that's the bad Jerry Ross coming out. But you know what? Folks, listen to me. We hear this stuff all the time. And if you're not careful, okay, this is what, and by the way, sometimes the Lord gives you something when you need it. And I looked at the guy, and I'm, because you know what? I always think this when I get confronted with this. I'm thinking, Bible. What did God? And I looked at the man, and I said, sir, can I ask you a question? Yes. I said, what did God serve him in Sodom and Gomorrah? Yeah, and what I'm saying is just be careful. Next thing you know, folks, there's nothing wrong with anybody and they're just misunderstood and we just need to. Well, you know what we need to do sometimes? We need to stand up for Jesus. Amen. Listen, we do not, I want to say this because everything we say goes on the web. We do not hate homosexuals at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Matter of fact, our church loves homosexual sodomites more than any other church almost in this entire area. You know why? We love them enough to tell them the truth. We don't just preach against their sin. We preach hope through Jesus Christ, deliverance through Jesus Christ, salvation, watch this, through repentance. Okay? All right? Anybody can say whatever they want to. They can lie through their teeth. This church loves sodomite people more than any other church probably in this county. But we hate the sin of sodomy probably more than any other church in this county. And those two things do not conflict. I hope that they get saved. But you know what? That doesn't mean I compromise with their sin. And I hope you get that balance, okay? Israel ignored the warning of the prophets. And there's a lot of men of God all saying the same thing right now. Boy, there's no coincidence on that. All right, let me give you the last thing. What's the last sin? What's the last failure of Israel? They failed. Boy, I want to just, let's just take this home with us and we'll let it challenge us and we'll all work together to help the next generation coming up. But they failed to raise their children to follow after the statutes of the Lord. 2 Kings 17, look at this, verse number 15. And they rejected his statutes and his covenant that he made with their fathers. Boy, there it is, generational. Did your mom and dad get saved? Did they get out of the world? Was it grandma and grandpa? Was it two generations ago, one generation ago? By the way, are you the one starting a new generation? Their fathers made some sacrifice. Their fathers made some decisions. Their fathers, you know what? They lived under David and Solomon. They sacrificed to build the temple. They worshiped God. They were true to his statutes. But you know what? They decided that they were going to reject that. I am sick and tired of a carnal, compromising generation that wants to spend their life criticizing the old-time religion of mom and dad and grandma and grandpa. I'm sick of it. They're not smarter, they're just more wicked. They're not smarter, they're just more carnal. Okay, stop criticizing old-time religion, grandma and grandpa's religion. Stop telling everything that's wrong with it and all you need to do to fix it. And just go back to them and learn something. There was a reason they had God's blessing, God's power. There was a reason real revival was happening. By the way, how's your new brand of Christianity working to bring about revival in America today? Okay, that was free. All right. They rejected his statutes and his covenant which he made with their fathers. My dad made some covenants with God. I'm not going to reject those covenants. And his testimonies, which he testified against them, and they followed what? Vanity. Emptiness. Nothingness. Okay? Nothing eternal. Fill their life with empty stuff, vain stuff. And became vain and went after the heathen. Come on. That were round about them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them, that they should not do like them. Wait a minute, does it stop with that generation? They left all the commandments of the Lord their God and made unto them molten images, even two calves, made a grove, worshipped all the host of heaven and served Baal, and they caused their sons and daughters to pass through the fire. And you know what the worst thing about backsliding is? Not just what it does to you, what it'll do to your children and your grandchildren. I mean, you better make decisions based not on just where you are and who you are. Oh, preacher, I'm just a teenager. And one of these days, you're going to be a mom and a dad. And you're going to, if God tarries, bounce grandchildren on your knee. And you know what? Their entire direction of their life can be changed by you deciding in your teens that mom's and dad's religion, grandpa's religion is not good enough for you. I don't need these old-fashioned standards. I don't need this old-fashioned King James Bible. I don't need this old-fashioned hymns. We're going to find a new way. You better take into account that it's going to affect the next generation. They caused their sons and daughters to pass through the fire. And then guess what's happening? Divination, enchantments, sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, provoke us. And you know what that's talking about? Out-and-out Satanism. I mean, they just give themselves over to the devil. And so what you see a lot of times is this. Let me give it to you. We'll close here. Man, 2 minutes too. We are so good here. You got mom and dad, old-time religion. You got compromising junior. And you know what? He wants to find some in-between thing. But by the time his kids raise up watching him spend more time worshiping idols than worshiping God, you know what? They don't stay in the middle. They go over here and sell out to the devil. Now, here's what's tragic. Mom and dad, let's say they were the first generation Christians. The generation before them, they left that was serving the devil. They started a new heritage. Junior didn't treat it sacredly. It was too straight, too strict, too old time. And by three generations later, this heritage has been fumbled. This heritage has been dropped. And now that family lineage is back worse than it was before mom and dad ever got saved and came out of it. And man, that makes me want to stay straight. I want to stay right. I don't want to compromise towards the end of my life. I want grandkids to grow up and say, you know what, grandpa never bent. He never bent his knee to Baal. He never backed up. He didn't compromise. He just stayed right. He stayed straight. I feel like the only chance they got is that grandma and grandpa just stand straight. So you know what? Do it. Do it. Because you know what? There's some sacred things worth handing down. And all we can do, our generation, I'm talking about us. I'm turning 55. Finally hit the speed limit in August. All this generation can do is just hold it out to the next generation. We can hold it out. We can offer it. But you know what? You got a free will. You got to make the decisions. I get it. But before you just decide you found something new, why don't you realize and think about what that cost us that we're trying to hand down to you? And you might want to make sure that the thing that you're willing to trade for is based on this old King James Holy Bible. Because you know what? You're going to blink a couple of times and you're going to be the grandpa and the grandma. And you're not going to want to look at grandkids that have totally gone over to the devil and are lost and going to hell because you wanted to find this in-between. Just stay straight. Just stay right. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for this portion of Scripture. Lord, so much in this book. Obviously, Lord, we didn't even scrape the surface of the chapter that we were in, let alone able to give a proper view and oversight of everything. But Lord, I feel like you've helped us tonight. And so please, Lord, just help us to rededicate ourselves to living right and doing right and being right. We serve a holy God. And Lord, Israel, they were selected. They were called out. They were rescued out of Egypt. They have a great heritage and a great testimony and a great God. Somehow, Lord, it didn't take all that long. After they were given this land of Canaan, it just didn't take all that long. It just wasn't that many generations. Before, there was hardly any difference between them and all of the heathen and pagan nations around them. And Lord, help us not to allow the devil, a defeated foe, help us not to allow the devil to come in and take us captive. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us to stand straight, stand strong for you in Jesus' name.